going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This hour is brought to you by JulieBeforeYouDig.com.
The amount of top-tier talent, while it's good, the volume isn't necessarily there. I feel like there's a few clumps of groups of players that are really good, but they're similar in terms of value. And I feel like there's good depth in certain positions.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Let's also promote what is coming up tonight on The Score. It is a big deal. Tune in from 6 to 9 p.m. tonight for Draft Night on The Score, hosted by Mark Grody, Dave Wannstedt, that's right, the coach is in, and Judson Richards, who does a great job. The guys will be live as round one of the draft begins, with live reports from Halas Hall and instant reaction to what the Bears decide to do with the 10th overall pick. That is tonight from 6 to 9 p.m. right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. The show will be streamed on YouTube and Twitch. And I appreciate the texter 630 because his guy is PCA, or their guy. And they even did the strengths. Elite speed and defense. Ball pops off the bat. The weaknesses. Questionable plate discipline. Plays with a flair that is unbecoming. Very funny. I appreciated the jokes.
No, I like it. Those seem accurate.
And funny. And the flair is now paying off. Look at that. Very NFL funny to me. So thank you for playing along with our bit. Getting back to what we have seen in the draft, I think it's a good time to re-examine some of what was said by the Bears front office, both Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham, when it came to what was going on with their impressions. And then I know that the big pulled quote that everybody took was, this could get wild. And we talked a little bit about it with Herb Howard earlier of the Bigs, but trying to figure out what that really means based on what they know about the talent pool here. That 5 through 50 estimated being equal talent level or relatively equal.
I look at the talent and understand that in my estimation, based on everything that I've read, everything that I've heard, there's only so many guys who are difference makers. And that's why I know I blew Herb's mind when I said, the Bears should just go ahead and just trade up and get Abdul Carter. And you immediately just
do that.
No. But I'm saying you immediately was like, well, I don't want to give up, you know, one of those second round picks to do that. I was like,
you have to.
Why not? But my point is, why not? Why not?
So there's a couple of notes here that have gone by in the past, 24 hours or so?
Yes.
Art Stapleton, the Giants and NFL beat reporter for USA Today and NorthJersey.com, a.k.a. the suburbs adjacent to New York, stated this. Drew Rosenhaus, who is Abdul Carter's agent, revealed on, this is now last night's Hey Rookie, two nights ago, rather, welcome to the NFL, that the Bears and Cowboys wanted Carter to visit them, but they declined. Carter only took visits with the top four.
That means he's expected to only be drafted by the top four teams.
That would also lead me to think that the Bears don't want to trade up.
I I don't know that that's how I read that. I mean, Drew Rosenhaus is going to do what he feels is in the best interest of his client.
Doesn't he always?
Yes. And so no one expects Abdul Carter to fall below four. That's just not going to happen.
No.
So it's just a matter of which team is it that will be selecting him with a top four pick.
Then there's this from Pat Leonard of the New York Daily News. League source text. Chicago Bears looking to move up. Another league source. Six teams ahead of the Bears at number 10 are open to moving back.
It seems to be wide open for trade. I like it. I only like it, though, if it's for that guy.
That's the one. Like, not even Ashton Dente. You're only going to roll the dice for that guy.
Okay, so back to the way you reacted when I suggested trading up for Abdul Carter. Would you rather have Abdul Carter or Ashton Dente? Just on its face, without any other context.
I know, that's a good question.
I don't think it's a hard question to answer. Abdul Carter.
Why do you say it? I'm thinking because the Bears did add a lot to their defensive line already. And they still need more help on offense. So I went Ashton Dente.
Wait, you really think the Bears added a lot to their defensive line?
They added Grady Jarrett. They added Dio Dengo. Yes. They were depending on Jervon Dexter previously. They were, you know, we were trying to figure out what they were doing with Zach Pickens, for example.
How did that...
Andrew Billings is theoretically healthy. Now, none of these guys replace a game-wrecking guy like Abdul Carter. But at the same time, the relative need on either side of the ball, yeah, I'm probably still leaning offense.
Okay, yes, normally I would say offense, but not necessarily Ashton Dente, because I think there is still a debate, and you know Anthony Heron can talk about this with us when he joins us for the next segment, is that Ashton Dente, a guy who some will say is a generational talent, and some will just say he had generational production because of who he played for and where he played. I think there are other backs. Mike Florio just said it a few segments ago. You can go listen to that full conversation with Mike Florio on the Rewind feature in the Odyssey app. But some teams think Marion Hampton is better than Ashton Dente. Now, he's the first person I heard say that. I haven't heard anyone else say that. I'll be clear on that. But my overall point being, you need guys who get to the quarterback. Abdul Carter is the most surefire way in this draft, I think, to get a guy who does that. At an elite level, at a Pro Bowl, All-Pro, perhaps Hall of Fame level, if you're going to put the trajectory out there.
I heard the phrase recently, sometimes court determines who's lying the least. And I feel like in this case, it's perhaps what determines who's got the fewest holes in their game. Like, who can be the most consistently determinable on any team.
Okay.
And that's where I do have a few questions about Dente.
I think that's where we all have... Well, I think that's where we should have questions on Dente specifically. I just... The idea of trading up for him and losing one of your other picks where you can help yourself, that doesn't make sense, especially when you can use one of those literal picks that you're trading to just draft a running back because there's that many good running backs.
I just also don't think the Bears are one or two talents away from making a huge difference in their record.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
And when I say huge difference, I mean, can you beat a team that's a perennial playoff team? That's what I'm talking about. That's when discussions like these really hit. But the issue is teams like that are typically not up at this level of the draft.
A texter hit with earlier. They're like, Marshall, what are the four positions where the Bears could draft actual starters? I was like, what are you talking about? Left tackle, running back, defensive line, whether that's interior or edge, and then tight end.
Yeah, especially if you're running 12 personnel.
That was not a hard question for me to answer.
Well, starter, then that's you know, starter's still cool.
I didn't say day one starter. I said year one starter. That's got two meanings. One, they could become a starter by the end of the season after getting their feet underneath them as an NFL player. Two, when somebody gets hurt, they can plug and play.
And also, there's still a discussion about who the third receiver is on this team.
There is.
I know Olamide Zaccheaus was acquired, but how much do you really see him playing?
I mean, I think he can do the job. The whole point of Ben Johnson being the head coach and the play caller is that you have confidence in his ability to draw up things that he wants and utilize personnel the way they need, maximize the personnel usage. That's the whole point. Now, right. If you have better personnel, that maximization becomes more.
And he says strip it down to the studs, but again, scheme does dictate some of the need in this.
Yeah.
Is it 12 personnel? You know, and I agree with 630. What happens with linebacker? You know, you kind of know, you think you know, but is it a done deal? We find out, at least over the next 2 days.
The 773 just hit us. Would you rather have Abdul Carter or Mason Graham? I'd rather have Abdul Carter if he's healthy. If he's healthy, yeah. And so
those are good problems to have.
So am I still convincing you about the Abdul Carter versus Ashton Jeanty? I feel like you're with me now, right?
No, I mean, I'm still more pro offense just because of this team's need. I'm saying, yeah, you know, that's a bigger risk I'm taking. In that hypothetical?
You'd rather trade up for Ashton Jeanty than Abdul Carter, though? I have no interest in trading up for Ashton Jeanty. If I'm the Bears and I'm looking at what I have and knowing there's other running backs available in the second, even third round.
You didn't ask me. I mean, you just asked me based on those two people, and I still think that I would rather trade up for an offensive talent because this team needs it.
Okay. I think the team needs people to get to the quarterback more than it needs a running back. And especially in a draft, now full context, where there are other running backs available, and you're not going to get another edge rusher or interior defensive lineman who is going to bring what Abdul Carter brings on day one.
Yeah, that's, you know, if this were still the Matt Eberflus defense we were talking about, where you knew what he could do, then I think it's a little more definitive. But in this scheme, I don't necessarily know that it's that automatic to the result.
I just want people to be... Here's what I don't want to happen. I don't want us to come in here tomorrow because the Bears didn't take Ashton Jeanty and be upset that the Bears don't have a new starting running back because it's only one round.
I'm not upset, but that's...
I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about people.
No, I mean, there's a list of good running backs in this draft. And when I say good, I mean really good. But when it comes to where I would like to see another game changer on the Bears at that level, I'm still voting offense for now.
This
just because that's my biggest place of need. Well, ideally, Montez Sweat has more than 5.5 sacks.
But if you give him help on the other side, then...
Would you think you've done with Dio Odangbo? They're paying him like that.
I don't know. But I like the idea of getting a monster edge on a rookie contract. I like that idea.
Don't we all?
I like that idea. More than I like getting a running back who I feel like you get other running backs. You can just, I always tell people in life, I was like, don't let people treat you like a running back. And when I say that.
Fungible, replaceable.
Replaceable. I had a friend of mine, she was dating a guy and I was like, man, he's treating you like a running back.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
That's insulting.
I was like, listen.
Now you play the drop, Robbie? Now? Not when I set his strength and paused for 3 seconds?
Listen.
Look at me when I'm talking
to you. This goes for women and...
I'm sorry, I can't even take myself seriously.
No, listen, this goes for women and for men. Make sure the person that you're dating, make sure they see you as a quarterback, someone that can, a cornerstone, a franchise quarterback. That's what we want to be in someone else's life. A running back, we know how running backs are viewed. Like, you run the tread off of them, and it's on to the next one.
It's terrible.
That now running backs? And that's not just in relationships.
Don't let him treat you like you're a middle reliever.
I always tell people.
Got to get, next thing you know, your option to Colorado Springs.
But, like, that's the thing. You want people to value you.
No, I completely agree with you. But I'm saying, like, instant impact on this team, like, instantly. Yeah,
I think.
In the department of instantly.
I think Carter would have a bigger instant impact than Ashton Jeanty would.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the argument when you're talking about the blue chip players.
Yes. And I'm not saying Ashton Jeanty isn't a blue chip player.
He was a runner-up for the Heisman.
Yes. But I just think, from what I've seen, Abdul Carter, the competition he's gone against, he is no doubt, he's a guy that if the number one pick had a young quarterback like a Bryce Young or something, they just happened to be bad and they had the number one pick, he would be the number one pick.
Don't let him treat you like they treat Bryce Young either.
Well, Bryce Young's still the franchise quarterback, though.
They had some nice progress the second half of the season.
They looked much better on offense.
Let's go to the tape. I want to get some insight here from Dennis Allen when he talks about the defensive line. Maybe there are some context clues in there we can find.
I think it's a step in the right direction. You know, I think, look, we're never in the position that we're just satisfied with where we're at. We're going to continue to look for areas that we think we can improve this defense. But I do think we made some improvement in that area, obviously with the addition of Grady, you know, as an interior defensive tackle. Dio, I think one of the things that he does exceptionally well is I think he moves inside in passing downs and rushes really well from the interior. So I do think we have some options in there, and certainly that's like one of the main points of pass rush. You know, everybody talks about these speed rushers off the edge, but really it's about the interior pocket pressure that you have to have, and that allows guys like Montez Sweat to be able to have some success coming off the edge.
All right, well, that didn't give me any information.
Well, we're just getting started. Tells me they need more. Also, that last comment I just said, read right here, 312, he's treating you like a Cubs third baseman.
I saw that.
That's
first, and that is a position that should be more valued.
Yeah,
that's
what happens when you're out here playing around and not getting your franchise guy, your cornerstone.
708, be treated the way Poles values punters.
Man, that's tough. That is tough.
No, that's what you want. But here's the problem is deep down, do you know you don't bring enough value then to be drafted?
Listen, all I'm saying is running backs are devalued. And yes, every once in a while, there is a great running back like a Saquon Barkley. But for you to say, I'm going to roll with this guy, Ashton Jenny, he better be Hall of Fame level when you have the needs that you need right that you have right now as the Bears. Otherwise, get Mason Graham, get Abdul Carter, get a guy who can help you get things done on defense, because that's been lacking.
I mean, I understand. I just think if you follow the money here with this team, they've paid people where you can tell based on the paycheck, they're expecting a lot of responsibility out of those individuals. Like, they're expecting a lot of responsibility out of Grady Jarrett. They're expecting a lot of responsibility out of Dio Odengbo, by the way the paychecks are.
I'll just remind you again, because this is going to be a guy on a rookie contract. Offensive line, defensive line, you can't have enough guys. And offensive line, it's more about depth because of injury. Defensive line, it's just because you need waves. Multiple waves of guys coming at you.
I understand, but I still just think the greater need for this team as a whole is on the offense, and the best insurance policy for a quarterback, especially learning again, almost like it's his rookie season part two, is a good running back.
Well, yes.
Does that mean that he's worth giving up like potential needed depth on the team at quality draft picks to get him in draft capital? That's the part I'm not confident about.
I just, knowing the depth there of great running backs, and I can't wait till Anthony Heron makes his way on the other side of this glass so we can really get into this.
Well, but in the window of this discussion, yes, specifically, where these are your options, I'm still voting offense. Ant Heron is here. We have a lot to discuss with him. We've done a lot of evaluation of the draft, Ryan Poles' draft classes as well previously. So who better to have in with us? The Iowa Hawkeye is next on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch, Picture this: flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Anthony Herron, Score football analyst.
Ashton Jeffrey had generational production in college, but he's just not that level of prospect. So there's other backs, day two and beyond, that I think the Bears will have an opportunity to get.
Former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye.
Hey, Bishop. I'm still on the radio.
I need another Paw Patrol.
Mr. Hedden, I want to compliment you. You're doing a fine job.
Big and Herron.
He is never scared. I think my favorite part of that is not Bishop requesting Paw Patrol, but it's definitely the guy saying you're Mr. Haddon. That's my favorite. Ann Herron joins us in studio. The Iowa Hawkeye. I didn't mean to wear this color, but it's appropriate to have Ann Herron in studio.
Especially when you were talking about Caleb Johnson earlier. I thought that worked out well.
I thought it did too. That was our one who's your guy before the whole server shut down. And you can catch Anthony Herron on our draft coverage tonight from 6 to 9 p.m. Tomorrow night, I'm sorry.
Yep.
From 6 to 9 p.m. with Mark Grody. That's when he's Mark Grote. We'll do that in the second round.
All right.
With a live reaction during round two of the NFL draft. So Ant is tomorrow. He's on Fox tonight. And then Ant is on again on Saturday from 12 to 2:30 p.m. He and Robbie Maklouf during day three of the draft. All of that can be heard right here on The Score in the Odyssey app.
Can't get enough Robbie. I mean, I've met him once.
Robbie's
in person,
awesome.
Yeah. Looking forward to Saturday also. So all draft. All the time, nonstop. My wife has to share her birthday with NFL Draft Weekend every single year.
She puts up
with
it. And you make it up to her how?
I don't know, a life of happiness, I suppose.
Okay, you know what? I like that attitude.
No, did you hear him talking about
he's found his quarterback. He's found his quarterback.
Did you hear that?
What did he say to Russ last week?
Marshall's analogies take us down very many twists and
Russ
turns.
Is the running back of Chicago media.
Oh, my God.
I didn't say that. You did.
I'm trying to figure out your metaphors.
I didn't say that.
He's never coming on our show again.
But Russ is Ashton Jeanty. No, he's Saquon Barkley. No, you know what? Russ is, say, Earl Campbell.
Ooh.
Yeah,
okay. All right.
Yeah.
Like Earl Campbell in his heyday.
Earl
not
Campbell
modern.
Gave his body
not
to the
Earl
game.
Campbell that can't walk. Not the Earl Campbell that's all beat up.
I mean, he might
up.
Not be able to walk after he gets done.
Wow. We need like a whole hour just for your analogies. You just need to get them all out, hey, figure man. It out. We'll parse them through.
Oh.
No, but.
Certified free of.
I can't. He found. Yes. Also, NFL draft didn't used to be this weekend. Like, that's right. The other part of it. You know, like when you two met, was it this weekend?
So it was not always her birthday weekend, but it was a 3-day event as opposed to a 2-day event. And so when I came out in 2001, it was a 2-day event as opposed to a 3-day event is what I meant to say, where it was rounds 1 through 3 on Saturdays,
right.
And then rounds 4 through 7 on Sundays. So now it has been, you know, made for a TV event.
Did you hear about David Haw's proposal?
No.
He wants it to be like Super Bowl week, where Monday is media night for all the prospects. First round on Tuesday, second round on Wednesday, third round on Thursday, and then the rest of the rounds on Friday.
It feels a bit excessive, but...
Of course it's excessive.
I mean, frankly, given the first round, it's on that felt excessive at first, and now this is just what this we do.
Normal.
Red carpet and everything. So, I mean, I wouldn't put it past the NFL. They dominate like, as
we
many
don't find a way to get
can,
this money.
Don't even during the NBA playoffs.
They have a ton of people going to Green Bay. They've invited a lot of people for this thing.
And the people that have gotten there have said, there's nothing to do here.
That too. Yeah, there's only so many supper clubs per capita. My dad, who lives in L.A., he and I never talked about it, but we both wanted to drive the Lake Michigan Circle Trail. I don't know, like, we never discussed this, ever. And he, like, calls me one day and is like, hey, his wife and I, he's like, Roy and I want to drive this Lake Michigan Circle Trail. And I was like, what? Have we talked about this? And he was like, we're going to take our time and make it like a week. But he was like, I really want to stop in Green Bay. And I was like, I don't think you understand. I'm like, you live in Southern California. Like, it's not like going to a random city in Orange County where there's a lot of stuff to do. I'm like, everything's in Milwaukee. I was like, I strongly recommend you hang out in Milwaukee instead. He was like, no. He's like, I really want to check it out. Like, he watches a lot of Packers games, whatever. He likes the Packers and the 49ers. And I'm like, are we related?
I mean, you know, when you go past Lambeau, you see the landmark that is there in this neighborhood. You're driving through a neighborhood, and then here's Lambeau.
I warned him. I was like, okay. Tell me what you think. And then he was like, you're right. There was nothing to do. There was like one restaurant we went to. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, and you started in Chicago. Like he had never been to Chicago
before. That's a serious downgrade. Yeah. Chicago to Green Bay.
It's probably just Lombardi Steakhouse or something like that.
I lived downtown and I was like, I really think you should check out Milwaukee or something. But no.
Yeah.
But then the rest of it was really cool. I was like, what's the Upper Peninsula like? So that was a whole conversation. That's not why you're here.
True. Yeah.
I flash back to our conversation that we had a couple months ago about Ryan Poles' drafts and how many people needed to do better and how many people needed to actually be real NFL talent. So given the fact that Ryan Poles has his largest amount of quality draft capital when it comes to first, second, third rounds. Now, we know 1 and 9 are exponentially more valuable. Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, good job. When you consider this amount of picks he has that are quality, how much pressure is there on him to get these picks right after the last three drafts?
It's immense, and partly because of kind of the initial portion of your question there, where some of the drafts just didn't go as well as we would have been hoping up to this point. It's not a really deep football team yet. You know, for year four of a general manager's time here, it's a good roster. It's certainly an upgraded roster. And some of these upgrades that feel like they've taken place this offseason, especially the interior of both lines of scrimmage, then that should pay dividends for the Bears. These are proven commodities as vets that they've paid in free agency to bring in, but it hasn't been coupled with the same type of development of those draft picks from recent years. And so, I mean, still hoping for more from Roma Dunze, hoping for another season of a big leap from Jervon Dexter. We'll see where things sit with Zach Pickens. There's guys that have been taken on day two early in these draft cycles, and they haven't had a star turn yet. None of them have had a star turn, but even just to show that they can consistently be impact guys. Like, it's good that Kyler Gordon, his very first draft pick he's had, he's got the second contract at this point, and you're really hopeful about some of the other guys. But you know, as far as just proven commodities in the league, there's not enough of that right now. So you got to hit this weekend because you do want the roster to feel deeper. You know the attrition will set in at some point during the season.
I just like how he told us it was going to be the most difficult roster to make since he's been in charge last time. And that will be the same sentiment, it seems like, this year because, of course, they'll say they're better, which they should. They should try to continue to get better. Looking back at what Ryan Poles has done so far, I'm wondering how much influence Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen in turn will have on this pick. Do you think when that selection is made tonight, whenever it may be, whether it's at 10 or trade up, trade down, whatever, we'll have a better sense of who's truly making the call for a guy who's the head coach for first time and a defense that needs a lot of help up front?
I would imagine so. And part of it, I think, could dovetail nicely off the conversation you guys were having previously here about where, if in the world where the Bears were to trade up, but even if they don't trade up and they stay at 10, but who gets taken there could be really indicative of who's influencing it. If they're really passionate about Ashton Jeanty, is that because Ryan Poles feels like we got to bolster the running back room? I feel like that's more likely if Ben Johnson says, I can do special things in my offense with that guy after what I was able to make happen, you know, in Detroit the last couple of seasons with a couple of quality backs and have them be sort of movable chess pieces. Or if it is a tight end who's there at 10, if you have your pick between Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland, and especially if it's, you know, where most of us see Tyler Warren out of Penn State as tight end one, but say he went Colston Loveland over Warren, you would think that's because Ben Johnson has influenced that and said that that's a guy within my offensive system that I really feel like can do some special things, or I can do special things with him, and he suits the way I want to coach this Bears offense. It feels to me like the most sensible way to go is to continue to bolster the line of scrimmage. But if you end up going with someone who's going to have the football in their hands, then that's where I would imagine, not because Ben Johnson doesn't value the line of scrimmage, but they've done a lot of that work over the offseason already. But it seems to me that that's where you continue to bolster things. But if you go with a skill spot, if you go with somebody who's going to be handling the rock, maybe that's more of a Ben Johnson influence.
That's it, is trying to figure out how much is a Ben Johnson position of need, even though he talks about how they have a blank slate as far as the offense is concerned. How much of it is something where he's saying, I'm looking at this person or this person, and I don't know that they fit into this. And how much of it is frankly just, let's get this level of talent out of this individual on the board who's available, and we will know how to use him or figure a way out. Like, that's the part of it that's a challenge.
Right. And, you know, when you have a couple of young defensive tackles who have already been drafted highly just a couple of seasons ago, and you went out and paid Grady Jarrett. So let's say where some folks think that Mason Graham of Michigan could still be on the board at that point when the Bears select at 10. I'd be really surprised if that were the case, because to me, he's got the cleanest film of any prospect in this draft cycle right now, just his snap-in, snap-out dominance that he showcased. But if they had an opportunity to get Mason Graham, that to me would just be a best player available sort of look. And that's fine, even though you've already bolstered the defensive front.
I think looking up now, I'm just wondering what it would take for them to trade up or down. It seems like there's this wide breadth of talent once you get past those blue chip guys early on. And so what do you expect them to do? Not necessarily what you want them to do, but knowing what you know about the Bears and their situation, everything you just told us, what do you expect to be the move in the first round for the Bears?
I expect to look for an upgrade at left tackle. And it shouldn't, in my mind, guarantee that Braxton Jones, if he gets healthy quick enough to earn the job, definitively won't start for you at left tackle, because he's played enough quality football. You've won games with him, where I like the idea of at least viewing that as competition going in. But there are several prospects that I do believe would be viewed as an upgrade if that were to happen. You know, a Kelvin Banks out of Texas, I don't think, you know, he's not going to come off in the top five, I don't believe. Will Campbell, to me, is the best left tackle in the draft. To me, I view Kelvin Banks as the second best left tackle. And when you're just looking at the physical dimensions and stature, you can certainly make the case he's got an even higher ceiling than Will Campbell does.
Oh.
But as far as just grading the film, one film versus the other film, Will Campbell is more consistent in his production, just his blocking, his balance, his ability to cut off defenders, his ability to both stymie power and speed. Will Campbell is more consistent with that than Kelvin Banks.
We're not worried about his Kevin Willis arms?
It shows up. It definitely shows up on tape, but I love his lower half and the fact that his footwork is really nimble and he's very light on his feet. And so he's been able to make up for that in college. If a defender is able to get into his chest or control his shoulders to a certain extent and get him off balance, Will Campbell is able to sink. He's able to redirect in a way that he makes up for that. And so, you know, you obviously face great talent in the Southeastern Conference and the competition he's faced. It's going to take a step forward in the NFL, but he's not like a Penei Sewell level tackle prospect coming out, but just comparison with his contemporaries here, like Joshua Simmons out of Ohio State, if he would have stayed healthy, he would be in that conversation probably as well. But as far as a guy stayed healthy, played the full season, and has been, you know, exceptional really for the last few years, that's Will Campbell.
This is Score football analyst Anthony Heron, also on Fox 32 as well, joining the midday show on the Score, Marshall Harris and Layla Rahimi. And as much as you analyze the Big Ten, and as much as you've analyzed, I think, just quality running back play and your observations of college football, if the Bears do draft a running back with one of those picks that we talk about, the four in the top 72, who do you want them taking aside from, say, the man we've always mentioned, Ashton Jeanty?
Good question. I think that for what we saw Ben Johnson able to do with the Sonic and Knuckles thing, to have someone who's stylistically different from DeAndre Swift, and I'm not down on DeAndre Swift like a lot of the city is. I think the city had maybe different expectations for DeAndre Swift than I did. I feel like I've seen who DeAndre Swift is up to this point in his career. He's a home run waiting to happen, but he's not a guy who should be your 20 to 25 touch a game every down back, short yardage scenarios. That's not what he's ever really been great at. Once the Bears kind of figured that out, you saw there were games where DeAndre Swift was the driving force to get them back in the contest. They got into striking distance, and then Caleb could do his thing in the fourth quarter. I like his game a lot, but if you do get a guy who can be more of that physical, imposing presence as a back, like Caleb Johnson from Iowa, I'm a big Travion Henderson guy. He stylistically is more similar to DeAndre Swift. So out of the two Ohio State backs, I'm more of a Quinshon Judkins guy as far as how he would maybe suit the Bears. He's got a lot of top gear. He can get you in the open field and make it a house call, but he is more imposing in his running style than either Henderson or Swift. And I think so for the Bears, when they're on the clock, I hope they don't go running back until day two. And if that ends up being the case, if they got a Quinshon Judkins, I'd really be down for that.
Good stuff. Anything else before we like head to the commercial break here that is on top of your mind for this draft day?
If James Pierce out of Tennessee happened to still be there day two, like I heard you talking Abdul Carter earlier, there's nobody else with the same pop, burst, explosion off the edge that Abdul Carter presents aside from James Pierce. Like James Pierce presents a very similar challenge to defenders with that initial first step burst and quickness and his ability to bend the edge and keep his cleats in the ground. He's going to get sacks in the NFL, and he would be a first-round level talent if he wasn't so slight of frame. That's a bit of an issue in his evaluation, but where the Bears have bolstered their defensive front, he can just be a situational guy early in his career and put up sack numbers on third downs and let him focus on that. So if he's there on day two and if he's there early, I think that'd be exciting for the Bears.
Anthony Heron, we appreciate it. You're on Fox tonight, right?
I am on Fox tonight, yeah.
What you got going on Fox?
So on Fox, we'll be out at Soldier Field tonight from 5:30 to 7. I'll be there on the set with Lou Kanellis. Cassie Carlson is out in Green Bay. She'll be bringing covers live from there. Tina Wynn is at Hallis Hall. So we'll have a big cast
team
of characters
coverage
over there. That's right.
Team That's what
coverage
that is.
Of everything with our Bears draft live coverage. That'll be from 5:30 to 7, right up until the draft begins. And like you mentioned, I'll be here tomorrow night with Groats.
And on Saturday
with my guy Rami. Yes.
We love it. It's a big old draft weekend here on the Score. You heard the Fox 32 analysis as well. We have more coming up on the Score Midday Show as we talk about brushes with something that could have harmed us in baseball. That's next.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drive deep to left.
Ohtani connects to it.
Strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This is the Score Midday Show as we roll on. A special thanks to Anthony Heron, who is now headed over to the Fox 32 studios to do draft coverage over there. Bye, Ant. We appreciate you stopping by.
Appreciate
he literally was stopping by the studio. There you have it. And we want to let you know that if you happen to miss our interview with Kevin Butler, the former Super Bowl champion, kicker, teammate of Steve McMichael, you can go back on the Odyssey app and listen on the rewind feature. And of course, that is something you can do if you check out the Odyssey app. Go to the 670 The Score page, look up the chapters, and that is where you can find at 10:25 what we're talking about with the interview. It was really emotional. Didn't mean to get that way. It's just, you know, that's what happens when you discuss the memory of a legend. And it was a very heartfelt interview with Kevin Butler. So definitely recommend you check that out.
Definitely appreciate him coming on with us under these circumstances, especially. I know it probably wasn't easy for him to talk about it, but hopefully it gave him an outlet at least and a way to celebrate his friend, lifelong friend.
And no stranger to speaking about football as well. He's part of the Georgia Bulldog Radio Network. So I also wanted to give him that credit. If you want to hear a little more of him, you know where to find him come football season. Switching gears a little bit, we talked a lot about that Cubs-Dodgers game last night, which on any other day where it's not the NFL draft probably gets a lot more attention, given that they ended up taking a mini sweep of the Dodgers in that two-game set. Cubs are off today. Cubs won 7-6 last night. And Pat and Ron are in midseason form, as we know, and apparently had a brush with danger last night.
Today, wind not really a factor, but it's cool and kind of damp, so the ball not quite carrying all that well.
Swinging a foul back near our booth, and this ball is going to land right over our heads. Ron Coomer had beautiful form. He was ready to make a dazzling catch. It's a shame that didn't happen.
I would have to disagree.
There is a strike, and it's nothing and two on Conforto.
I'm kind of over the fact that if balls come flying in here, I will catch it, but it's not like something that I'm looking forward to doing.
It's not the priority that it once was.
Not even close. Right? Yeah, not even a little bit. You know, when we first started working together, I said, yeah, hit it up here. I caught a few of them. Yeah, no, you don't have to hit it up here.
That's pretty funny. Have you ever had that happen where you're at a baseball game and a foul ball finds you?
Yes, but mainly when I'm in the stands trying to watch the game, and that's fun. I was actually in the suite for the old NBC Sports Philadelphia, and I actually caught a foul ball on TV, and you know they talked about it and stuff.
It was in the suite?
In the suite. You know the suite, right?
I'd never been. No, I only heard about it.
Oh, my bad.
I heard it was legendary. Yeah, you guys got suite access.
Legendary
at the
time.
Flagship of our family of networks.
So we had a suite attendant. Her name was Marge. And whenever they played da-da-da-da-da-da, you got to yell Marge. And she kept the drinks flowing. We'll say that.
Margie. I heard her name was Marge. Yes.
Yes.
She was legendary.
And so it's funny because when a foul ball is really coming your way, it's fight or flight. Like you're catching the ball or you're getting out the way. And I've never ducked out of the way of a foul ball. But at the same time, when you're reporting and you're down in that camera well, it's different.
I've had that happen. Actually, at Wrigley. I was on air with the Padres broadcast and had to dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge a couple.
And I think when you're doing live reports, you have to be very careful on the warning track, like the stay as close as possible, because once they start taking BP, all bets are off. Balls can be thrown poorly. They can be carrying off of things. And we probably know of stories of people who have been hit with foul balls, missed throws, all of the things. You can get hurt. But what this when I listened to this, because I was listening to the broadcast last night, when Ryan Coomer said that, I was like, you know what's crazy is there were people who actually were trying to convince me that the netting was a bad idea. We don't even think about the netting anymore. That was late. It was way behind schedule. And I'm so glad that we now have netting all the way down the line.
That was a sneaky pandemic implement that people just forgot about.
And now
remember how many people were complaining? They're like, oh, I want to watch a game. I'm not going if it's not. No. Guess what? You're watching the game just fine. You forgot about it. You didn't even know. And because it's preventative, the best outcome is nothing happening. So you don't realize that. So it happened. Congratulations. We've all lived to tell the tale, which is kind of the goal. My very first baseball game covering as a reporter, very first one, I was working for the Ticket in Dallas. And I was already head on a swivel because here I am in college being entrusted with clubhouse audio for the Rangers. And this is like the Rangers team that, let's just say, a lot of people were hitting a lot of home runs, if you know what I mean. It was like, you know, early 2000s, if you will. And I was in college and I'm like, this is already a lot. Like, I'm already I'm already being asked, like, A-Rod's on that team, like Rafael Palmeiro, all these legends, you know, like Juan Gonzalez. Like, I'm just like, scary. You know, like, these are dudes who can hit. And a foul ball ends up coming into the R suite in the press box.
And
I, like, tried to catch it in slow motion, and it ricocheted, just bounced downward to hit the window frame and then up and then went out. And everybody was messing with me about it. I was like, oh, I can't do this job. Like, I can't even catch the ball. Little did I know how rare that was. It, like, never happened again.
It's pretty rare. I've probably caught two or three. Wait, now I've caught three foul balls in my entire.
That's really good.
I went to a lot of minor league baseball games. Like, yeah. I love going to minor league baseball games. And I covered, like, the Huntsville Stars back when, before we had the Rocket City Trash Pandas, we had the Huntsville Stars. So.
Dude, I've caught the basketball a few times when I was the Bulls reporter. Like, it would go into the stands, and I was always sitting close to the open lane, you know, by the stanchion. Yeah. And I'd just be like, whoop. But that's easy.
Wait, how'd it go again?
Whoop.
I like that.
Catching a basketball is not as difficult.
It's a little bit larger of an object to catch, and it's probably not coming at you nearly as fast.
No, and somebody has to catch it, and that's the only time I ever feel tall enough when I'm sitting down.
You're tall in my eyes.
That's nice.
Probably because we're at eye level right now, because we're both sitting down.
And then when I stand, he's got a foot on me. All right, let's transition with the afternoon show. Spiegel and Holmes next on The Score.